Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. We've got another awesome topic tonight, of course. It's Paying It Forward, and everybody probably saw that movie. I think it was called Pay It Forward with that little boy. Kevin Spacey was in it, I think. I think that started the whole thing about paying it forward, and we're going to talk about that and see if you get it, if you're doing it. I hope everybody does it. Now, last week we did talk about under grace, doing things under grace, which is a little bit different. They're similar, but they're not. And Christy, I always call you Christy. Maya Moon, pardon me, Maya Moon, my lovely Maya Moon, will, of course, discuss her part on it. For me, I'm under grace. If I do something for you, I don't expect you to do something for anybody else. It would be nice if you would, but pay it forward when you give somebody some money. And they kind of have the feeling that maybe, or they know they should do it for somebody else, then that's paying it forward. But also it could be just like buying somebody some coffee, giving somebody money in a line in a grocery store if they're short of money. A lot of people, I've seen them do that. So that's kind of a beginning of this. But it's really a great topic because I think we can go the whole spectrum with it, don't you think, Maya?
I do. In fact, I was actually thinking that this might be a two-part show. It might be.
Right.
Could
very well
be.
Yeah. Well, we can do that. But it isn't it. It's small acts of kindness that we do. And it's almost like when something goes to critical mass, one tells one tells two tells four, and so on. That's what I was taught about a website. Things have to go that big, but I think that movie really started it off. I mean, I had never heard of it before. Did you? Well, it was a big deal anyways, but it was a really good movie, and it taught us something, I think. Many, many years ago, it's been a long time, hasn't it been? I don't know, maybe 15 years ago that movie came out. I don't even know. I should look it up. But there are a lot of things that we can talk about, how you pay it forward. Do you pay it forward in hopes that somebody will do the same for somebody else? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful, Maya, if that's what people would do? But it doesn't often happen that way. So it kind of like under grace and paying it forward kind of go a little hand in hand, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I do. To a degree, I think that they do go hand in hand. And really anything that's positive or that's spiritually in the light, to some extent has to be done with grace or under grace. So yes, I would say that we could find a great deal of similarities between those two. And paying it forward is another, rather than, I would say they are similar and they are interconnected. A state of grace is a state of being and thinking, and paying it forward is just, I guess they're both actions, but to me I would see paying it forward as being a more assertive, a more active
right.
role, being a more active
right.
participant in life in general and in the collective. And again, it you know, it involves a great deal. And I know you always have a lot of stories that you like to share And I know that I have one in particular that is a spiritual and a pay it forward story that I would like to share. So we'll see how it goes. But I this is a subject, and we're talking about that that movie, and many people have seen it. I have. And wasn't that the same? Haley something is the male actor, or am I mistaken? Isn't he the one?
The little boy? You mean the boy that started, that was the one that did it? I can't remember his name at all, but you know what? I'm going to look it up. I'll tell you who was in it.
I thought
it was Kevin Spacey.
Right. And then the other one that used to star, she starred in quite a few, and she had a series for quite a long time, and I can't think of her name. Haley Joel, I think, is who I'm thinking of. But if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't that actor that played the young boy, wasn't he the same one that played with Bruce Willis and the one about he saw ghosts, he saw dead people?
Oh, yeah, I remember. What was that? Was it Something Red? Oh, anyways, I got to pay it forward. It was Helen Hunt was in it.
Helen Hunt.
And Joel Osment.
That's
must have been
right.
The boy.
Okay.
Osment. Yeah, and
so
you know when it was? It was in the year 2000, so I wasn't far off.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, I knew it was a long time ago. I mean, I just kind of took that off the top of my head, and I thought, it seems like that'd be, you know, I'm surprised. I didn't know that it would be, you know, that long ago. But, yeah, that's kind of when it kind of all began. And this Osment little boy, didn't he end up passing away?
I don't know. He played in The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis.
That's right. That's right. You're right. That's right. You're right. I'm going to see about him too. But anyways, yeah. You share your story, and while you're doing that, I'm going to look up Joel Osment. I'm going to tell you all about him. Yeah, there he is.
I share my story. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about paying it forward.
Okay.
So I can go ahead if you want, and if you got something to do, and start that. So when we're for those that have seen the movie, that's great. You probably get the gist of paying it forward. But what I can do is share what resonates with me. And we all, you know, spiritually, we all have very different ideas. And there are no right or wrong. There's just different ways of viewing things. And again, as long as we're being true to self and we are, you know, not putting others in harm's way, then we're doing something right. We're on our true path and purpose. So paying it forward is making an offer or a gesture or taking action on behalf of something that we may not gain something or benefit from, with the idea and the intention, and we may even relay that to that person, that our return on that would be that they pay it forward, that we help someone out in need. And when they say, well, how can I thank you? Do you need, you know, these are just examples. Do you need some yard work, or, you know, you I was so cold.
Yeah, and that's
thank
a nice exchange if people would do that. Yeah, that's a good one, Christy. Christy, I'm sorry, I keep calling you. I shouldn't do that. You're Maya Moon. You're my lovely Maya Moon, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was busy looking up this stuff about this little kid. Well, he's not a little kid anymore. He's 28.
So I guess he didn't pass away then.
No, he passed away in the movie at the end.
He died
in the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
But I believe that was part of, you know, he had his message, and in a very much sense, if you think about it, because he started this process in doing an English. I believe it was English that he had to complete an assignment on, and so he tried kind of an experiment, and it was to pay it forward, to follow up to see how many people did. And if he was sadly, and that's true, of course, of saints, too, we find that to be true. and often famous people, if he would have lived, it may not have caught on and been as big of a movement as what the movie depicted it to be. So I believe that his death kind of sealed and cemented that idea and motivated and touched lives of so many people that it would have been impossible for that to do so. Not to mention, and not to get too caught up on the movie, because the movie does not, you know, although I do feel that it's a shining example of paying it forward, it's not all inclusive of doing so either. But the other thing is, if you think about, for those that remember the movie, part of it was the mother and then the teacher. Those were the two main characters, and they kind of had a thing, and then there were some obstacles that separated them, and both of those obstacles were their own inability to actually, back to what we talked about last week, their inability to be in grace, and they were holding on to toxic energy and negativity and so on. And it was his death that brought them to the point of grace and realizing that this was something neither of them could bargain or barter with this child's death. It caused them both to face the reality of the now and the situation and to be able to just say, what I was 10 years ago doesn't define me, or what happened to me 10 years ago doesn't define me, but the actions that I take now certainly do. So that, do you remember that part, Natalie?
Yes, I do remember it. I do remember it. You're right, it was the catalyst. It actually went to critical mass. You know, it continued on. Like you said, if he wouldn't have died in the movie, maybe it would have stopped with him. Maybe it wouldn't have been taken so seriously. But really what he did was really totally awesome. And while you're talking, I'm thinking about things that I have done. And I guess I could probably think of about a lot of things if I really wanted to. I don't, you know, one for me is I have, even though I've been not in a good position monetarily, several times, and this is not my son or anything. This is somebody that, you know, was a friend of my son's, that worked for my son, and he was down and out. He had virtually nothing. I loaned him money, okay? Well, I got some of it back. But when I handed it to him, I looked at him and I thought, you're not going to get this. You're not going to get this back. So just do this. You're helping somebody out. I got part of it. He still owed me a lot of money, but he tried to pay me every week, and then it just stopped. You know how that goes. Right. I have done that several times, and I have done it several times to people other than, like, that work for my son. What happens, though, is they'll pay you some of it back, and then it stops. They're still in their position. But how I look at it, I don't get angry. You know, I don't stomp my feet and say, well, you know, I lent this to you in good faith. I expect it back. I don't throw a tantrum. I don't email them or call them, where's my money? I don't do that at all. But I sit and think about it, and I just know that when you do something like that, there is always a risk that you're not going to get it back. It doesn't mean that they're not honest people. It doesn't mean that they don't have the intentions of repaying you, but other things get in the way. Like this one woman in particular, she's had such a bad road, you know, and I helped her many times. And she started paying me back some and everything, but now she still owes me money. And I have notes everywhere, you know, and you should see my payroll book. I have notes there too. And I was reminded of it today. And so I wrote to her and just asked, you know, if you're ever in a position that you could start returning the money back, I would appreciate it. And, well, she wrote me back this, what has happened to her, and she's in a real fix. Life has not gotten any better for her. So I just said, wrote her back with some hearts, like I'll do sometimes. Okay, well, when you see that you can send me something, that would be great. Now, I could have spun around at her and said, look, I gave you this 2 years ago, and you haven't paid off the debt yet. But I got that email, and I sat back, and I thought, well, you knew this was going to be like this, Natalie. You knew that she probably would never pay you back because she's never going to be in that position. And that's, I think, how you have to look at things. Anything that you do for someone, and you want them, and maybe she's paying it forward. Maybe she's doing something for somebody. I have no idea. But I think when you do something like that for somebody, you have to let it go. Unless you want to hold them to a contract, but you have to, I'm talking about any money that you lend out, it's one thing. Just let it go. Just know that, okay, you did a really good thing here, made you feel really good. And that's it. Turn around and walk away. Hopefully, these several people that I have helped have gone on to help other people in some way. Maybe something small, maybe helping them with their gas, for their car, something. Maybe not what I did, but hopefully. I can only hope that, you know. We don't know. I mean, we don't. All you have to have is faith in it, but everybody knows how I do things. And but like something like that, even though I guess I was thinking of pay it forward then, but I just knew that I needed to help her. That's all that I knew. And she didn't have anybody else to turn to. She has her husband, and they were so down and out on the road. And I could feel her with my empathic abilities that this lady was having a very bad time. So I don't regret it at all, but I hope when she's on her feet and someday she can do the same thing for somebody else, maybe not monetarily, maybe doing something else for that person. But that's what you do. That's what you have to do. But if you want to do something like that, you just cannot hold on to it and dig yourself a hole and stomp your feet and you can't be like that. I mean, that's how I look at it. But I think part of when I do things, it's just under grace. I just do it. I don't think about it. I just, okay, sure, you know, that's good. I can do that. I don't put myself in a bind or my family in a bind. But I'm trying to think if there's anything. I'm sure I did things when I was a little girl. You know what my life was like, Maya. I'm sure I did that for others and didn't even know what it was. It was just out of the goodness of my heart. And I don't want to sound like I'm goody two-shoes, but I really was a different kind of child. And it carried me through. I mean, look what I'm doing now. And I've had some people the last few days just say to me, you're just like this ball of fire. Well, I'm not a ball of fire, but I know what's right and I know what's wrong and I do what's right and that's it. And I know you do the same thing, Maya. And I don't know if Candy's in the room yet or not. Sometimes she's running late. Oh, yep, she's there. She's typing away. So she's there, although I can't hear her. But there are a lot of things that you can do. I can tell you what my husband did if you want me to share that. There was a young man. He was a young boy, a little older than my son. And he was struggling with math. Well, my husband, this was when he had a sound mind and all of that. He was a very giving man now. He helped this boy, taught him his math. Every night he'd come over. And anyways, he graduated from high school. You know what he is right now? He's a CPA. And he owns part of the firm. I talked to him not long ago about an issue that I had for the state of Michigan, because that's where I'm from. I had to pay this license fee. And he said, you know, I always tell everybody the story about Lou, that was my husband's name, about how he helped me with math because I was so bad. And I tell them that I have him to thank because I went on and was so fond of math that I learned it so well that I'm a CPA. He was a CPA, and then he told me he was part owner in the company. So that's a great story. Now, has he done anything for anybody else? I don't really know. I know how kind he is to me all the time, you know. But we don't ever know when you do something for somebody if they're really going to pay it forward. All you can do is hope that they find something that causes them to do it or allows them to do it. And if you find out about it, it's going to make you feel really, really good. It really, really is. And I have to think about anything else. You know, Randy said something about volunteer to be a tutor. Well, that's what Lou did. He was his tutor. She says here, help a homeless person with money or food. Those are almost, those are like, you know, those are acts of kindness. Those really are. I mean, because like somebody like that who's, that's where the difference at. We have to depict what the difference is, Maya. I mean, you can do acts of kindness, like to somebody who's really doesn't, is, will never be in a position you, that you know of, it's going to actually pay it forward. But maybe they're going to pay it forward in a different way. Maybe they're going to hold a door open for some lady coming through. Say it's a man that doesn't even have a home. That's what you want. That's what you want. You want them to do something that's going to make somebody else feel really good. And if everybody would just do that, what a world we would have. We could all be singing
right.
and dancing
right.
and being married. Unfortunately, it's not like that. And I don't know what the ratio is, but I know the people that surround me, you, Candy, many others, just do and do and do. It's because we love to do it, and I don't think we do it as hoping that they'll do it, pay it forward. We just do it because that's how we are. And that's a different kind of group altogether, I think. Don't you, Maya?
Right, right. I do. And what I was going to say also is that young man, some respects, he was paying it forward by giving so much credit to your husband, by
exactly.
letting
yes,
people know that, you know, that he did not get there. So sometimes paying it forward is not, I mean, often
tangible thing. Right.
Right. Oftentimes
might be words. It could be just words.
For someone else.
Exactly.
But
like opening a door for someone.
Right,
yeah, I bet you,
right.
you and I and a lot of people
it.
That we know pay it forward all the time. But that's who we are. And I think if you're, I think when you're spiritual, I mean really spiritual, it becomes second nature to you. You don't even think about it. And so hopefully what we are, we can rub off on other people who might not do things like that, but have them recognize, oh, yeah, he told me, this was just in February. He said, I tell everybody about him, what he did for me. And I don't know, I don't think it was bookkeeping, but, you know, I'll tell you what he did do, and I forgot all about this till just now. He ended up being my CPA, right? Well, he said, well, you can send me all your stuff. I said, well, that's going to cost a lot of money a month, isn't it? He said, well, yeah, some, yeah. And then he looked at me and he said, okay, I got a deal for you. So he did pay it forward. I have a deal for you. And I said, okay. I had I wasn't using QuickBooks. I was using some other kind of Peachtree, I guess, software for bookkeeping for the salon we had. But I didn't know the first thing about where to post anything. So what he did is periodically, like maybe once a month, my husband always made pizzas for everybody. He liked to do that. He loved to cook. So Vince is his name, and Vince and his family with his two daughters and his wife would come over, and for a half an hour we'd go back into my office. He'd show me things on the computer, what to do, where to post. I could make little notes and everything. And he would do that. I don't know how many times we did that. And I never thought of it, but actually he was paying it forward. He was helping me as my husband helped him. And he never charged me. They just came over for dinner, had pizza and salad, and that's where I got all my training was from him. Nobody else sat with me. And he told me once, he said, you know why you do this so well? And I said, no. He said, because you're not afraid to ask questions. As dumb as they might be. Dumb. I mean, now why would she ever ask that? You are not afraid to ask questions because that's, you know how to learn. I said, well, I learn with floor experience, they'll say. And so he did pay it forward. He got me, now I do it all. I do for stars, and that's big. So I have him to thank for that. So maybe I've been paying it forward too, and I just realized it, all these little things that I do for people, I've been paying it forward. It's a nice feeling. It really, really is. It is. So I'm going to stop talking before I lose my voice totally. Oh, she said, Candy says, share a smile with everyone. Well, we know I do that all the time. But, and I'm sure she does too, and I'm sure you do too. So there's a lot of things that you can do. I've seen people stand in line in the grocery store. You probably have too, Maya, or somebody will be short a dollar or whatever. I have asked people, are you short? I'll be happy to give you some money. I've done that. I don't even blink an eye. But there's some. If you watch them, I mean, I'm such a people watcher, you can look at them. They would never part with a dime. And their life is not full and enriched. It really isn't. It just isn't. So that's some of my stories. I'm going to let you take it back, or else you know me, I'm going to talk until 9 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's many ways that sometimes, you know, we can pay it. We can give someone something, and sometimes the best gifts are just our time, our support, our understanding, and our love. Oftentimes people do need money or assistance or a job or even, and I believe that those of us that have less, it can often mean more when we give. But other than my personal story that I'll share, one of the themes that comes to mind that I really find extremely touching and, you know, very iconic of paying it forward is people who are willing to, there's two things. I'll start with people that are willing to adopt shelter animals. Shelter animals,
yes.
Now, occasionally you'll get one that has no problem. But usually, I worked for the ASPCA, a volunteer, it wasn't a paid position, for several years back in Chicago, helped with, you know, just with the dogs, it was an off-site, it wasn't, you know, downtown Chicago has a huge building, but this was off-site, you know, some of the little, like you would call them foster shelter homes, but they were affiliated, but it's pretty widespread and widely known and accepted that the majority of shelter dogs have some pretty severe problems. Most of them have either been neglected, they've gotten feral, they've been abused, abandoned, or one of the worst things, just like it is for a human being, for an animal, is to go from home to home to home. And it can be simple things, people that just don't know what to expect. They're better off to get a lawn ornament. You know, they purchase a puppy. They might get a good puppy from a good breeder, or, you know, a decent breeder get a puppy. And, you know, they don't realize that if you let your puppy run around the living room for 4 hours, it's probably going to rip up your shoes if you left them out. So anyway, some of the stories that I find so touching are people that are willing to go that extra mile because they realize that they're going to have some behavioral issues. It could be fear. It could be, I mean, just a myriad of issues. And they're willing to put in that extra time, patience, and love that it takes. And then you hear the stories where maybe 6 months, maybe a month, maybe 2 years after having adopted that animal and working and showing that animal love and support, not giving up on that animal,
right.
That dog or cat, usually it's a cat, a dog, I mean, just because they just are of a different temperament and they're, you know, they're more of a companion. Interacting with humans, then cats are a little more independent. But cats can be known for this too. And they'll do something and they will, you know, so the person adopted the animal, it may not necessarily have been in their mind to tell the animal or pay it forward, but they did a good deed out of the goodness of their heart because their intention was to do something loving and giving to help one of God's creatures. And, you know, they were willing, they knew they were going to be faced with extra issues. And the dog alerts them to a fire or to a burglar or, you know, unbeknownst to them, their 10-year-old daughter has a seizure and has been undiagnosed, and the dog barking until it gets one of the parents' attention. So we hear those stories. Those are in the news quite often. And not that a purebred dog can't do that, but it's just extra special to see. To me, that is a good example of paying it forward. And I think we see that with foster children and people who adopt, because especially fostering, when you go into it knowing that you're only going to be keeping the child, whether they're 2 or they're 14, for a short period of time, maybe during a difficult time in their life, whatever the situation, maybe the parent or parents are incarcerated for a short time. Sometimes they can just be very ill and they're just not able, they don't have family and so on. And so they take on, you know, the responsibility, and they do it. It's just this, everything comes from the motivation of love and the motivation to give without needing to receive. And so if those persons, if we were to poll those people, I believe that that's what they would say. If they were to say, well, what do you want for this good deed or deeds that you've done? They would say, the only thing that I could ask for is that those people pay it forward. So perhaps some of those kids that they fostered and they helped during traumatic or tumultuous times ended up either mentoring a child through the brother-sister program or worked in therapy or counseling, or perhaps they became foster parents themselves. So those are other ways aside from, you know, we can, you know, we see homeless people, we see, you know, panhandlers, and a lot of them are just simply in bad situations. Now, not to be critical or judgmental, because that's not my place, but there's some of them that's just how they make a living, I mean, quite truthfully. So they're not so much in need of a meal as they are of a drink. And if you've ever taken the time, I don't mean just you personally, Natalie, I mean to all of our listeners, if you've ever seen the signs where they say, we'll work for food, and you've said, okay, well, come back with me and you can do this, many of them are just so grateful to have a warm coat or a pair of gloves. But then there'll be other ones that will say, oh, no, thanks, but could you spare a couple bucks? So so the idea of paying it forward is just to give something, whatever that may be, whether it's time, listening to someone, seeing someone on a park bench, in a doctor's office, in, you know, wherever, in a supermarket. Sometimes if we are attentive to other people and we're aware, we can just spot someone. We may not know the depth of their struggle, but we can see that there's some hardship going on. I'll never forget one time, this wasn't my story, but quickly I'll just say, I remember one time seeing a mother, and she looked pretty young. Now in Arkansas, that's pretty typical. For most, especially those that don't pursue a college education, it's pretty typical to see a young girl that's 23. It's not a surprise to see 2 or 3 youngins, as they call them here, to see 2 or 3 children. Now, in other states, that's just not considered the pro quo, but here it is. And I remember seeing this mother one time, and I was watching her, and her kids were, they maybe didn't have on the best brands, but they were clean, they were cute, they were very well behaved. And she was looking at the list, and I just could tell she looked like she was ready to cry. And I felt so drawn to that, and I thought, I know, because I've bought school supplies, which don't even get me started with that. I think it's ridiculous that schools expect families to spend $30 to $50, and I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking about second,
right,
third, fourth grade.
That, oh, yeah, my granddaughter, too.
Yeah, I mean, families to be able to come up with, you know, $30 to $50 on school supplies. And many, we live a quarter block, half a block from one of the best schools in our little town. It's not the best school in our area, but in our town it is. And they have very, 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 very few programs that really help, and then the teachers are not really satisfied. They want, it has to be this kind of spiral notebook, and it has to be this kind of binder. So I'll never forget that I did go up to her, and I said, is everything okay? Are you okay? Because I assumed from her actions that she was trying to figure out How she was going to pay for it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
And the kids, of course, were excited. I mean, they were all young. They were probably all between 6 and maybe 9 or 10. So she might have been older than 23. But she had a 10-year-old. And she just, you know, the dam broke. And she just said, I don't know what to do. My children need these supplies. The teachers, you know, school had just started. She said the teachers have already more or less threatened them. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what the conversation that took place.
It was all not good for her, what she was saying.
Right. I mean, and the kids, you know, they want to start out the school year with fresh things. I mean, and I'm thinking, goodness, that she can't even afford the supplies. And, you know, I did end up helping her. I was in a situation where I was able to do so. And believe me, I don't do that every time I go to the store. That just happened to be one time that I just happened upon the right person. And there's been other times that people, you know, that I can recall that people have sent something going on with me and have, you know, been considerate and helped me out. So certainly I would say that that would have been my paying it forward for the times that people helped me out when they could sense that I needed a helping hand. So paying it forward is doing a deed, helping someone in need, without the expectation necessarily of receiving back to you whatever it is, money or goods or time or whatever, but that person will perhaps just remember the love and the spirituality that was put into the deed that was done or given or again, whatever the situation called for, and that their memory will be triggered, and when or if they're ever in a situation that they will step in if, you know, they're able to and help in whatever way they can. And sometimes that might just be, you know, holding a stroller or helping a mom hold her purse while she changes her infant. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything huge and spectacular for it to be noticed or for it to be a good deed or for it to be something worth paying it forward. Do you think?
Absolutely. And I'm sitting here thinking. When I'm not talking, I'm thinking. That's probably not good. But anyways, I can think of even things that my son has done. The same gentleman, he gave this man a computer. I gave him one of my couches because they were giving me theirs. And we were moving things around, and so it was a sofa bed. So he could use it because he was sleeping on the floor. And my son said to me, there's holes, big, huge holes, where he's living. I mean, he probably wasn't paying next to nothing to live there, right? So we did a lot for him. And, I've told you things like when my son, we saw somebody, an older man and an older lady, He went to get the car, and she was standing at Kroger's, and we're kind of watching. My son and I are both watching to see what's going to happen here. And sure enough, you know, he opened up the trunk and tried to come in. It was pouring. I mean, it was really raining. And my son looked at me, and he says, "Well, I guess we better go help." And I said, "Yep, I guess we better." So I held the door open for this little lady, and she had a heaping full of groceries. And, you know, she had the biggest smile. That was enough for me and my son, I'm sure. But everybody has heard what I've done and what you've done, Maya, something like that. And little things, little acts, just it doesn't have to be a lot. If you could just do that, smile at somebody. You know, how are you doing? I mean, I went into Kroger's, what was it, yesterday, and I had kind of a bad morning. And so, I mean, I was okay. I was with my son, you know. I mean, I kind of got myself back together before he got here. And I'm walking in the store. It always happens in the store. And everybody was saying, "Hi, good morning. How are you today?" "Oh, I'm great today. How are you?" And it was like a chain reaction. And pretty soon people were smiling, and this other man came up to me. It was almost like they sensed I needed to know, or not needed to know, but they wanted to make me feel good. I don't think they knew that, though. They didn't know it. I knew it, but they didn't. And I continued through that store. I didn't have to help anybody, but I'm always watching. You know, I'm always asking, "You need some help to get that, or are you trying to find something?" And but your heart, it does something to you inside. I don't think it's just your heart, it's your soul. Something gets touched when you see people that need help of some kind. I mean, why would you not want to do something? And maybe these people will go on and do something really nice for somebody else, and maybe that other person is not going to even be aware of it. I mean, there's no guarantee that when you do this, that person that receives from you is going to go off and do something. There are no guarantees. We have no idea what's going to transpire. All we can do is do it from our end and give it to them, and hopefully down the road, one day, they're going to do something, and it'll make them a better person. And I'm telling you, that is the truth. When you do things like this, when you pay it forward, and you just give, I mean, you can get yourself out of any mood. You can do anything. I had a call today about, I had to call my, this gal who handles all the payments and everything for my cardiologist. And I had her laughing so hard because I had to call Blue Cross, and I had them laughing. Then I had to go back to her. I must have talked to her four times. And she answered the phone. I says, "It's just your friendly little person saying hello." She says, "Hi, how are you?" We were laughing. She said, "Are you going to call me every day like this?" I said, "Well, if you want me to." She says, I told the gal with me, she's my boss, "This lady is so nice on the phone. How can you not have a good day with her?" Well, you see, and she didn't even know what was going on with me, but that's how I did it. That's how I do it. And it's worked. It works every time, and it's a wonderful feeling. And if you could just go and do something out of the goodness of your heart to help somebody in need, you know, it's just wonderful. Now, my daughter-in-law does rescue for English Bulldogs and for South Carolina. Okay, well, she does them, but she has given one away, but she ends up keeping them all the time because she can't get rid of them. But so, you know, she gives them a home. Maybe her one dog, or actually turned out to be my son's dog, was chained outside and had this groove in his neck because of that chain. That's how long he was out there. He was the sweetest dog. And so that's what she does. So I'm sure she does that. She works at a clinic where they do MRIs and stuff like that. And I'm sure she's kind to everybody. I know my son is. I've seen it. I know I am. I know you are. And so if you're listening to the show and you haven't been doing that, you need to do it. You remember I told you last week about the piece of paper where you have pluses and minuses. It's got a line down it. Put a check on the plus. Oh, check on the minus. Wasn't too good today. Trust me, that works. Somebody is keeping track. That's what I tell people. Somebody above is keeping track. So if you can do all of these wonderful things, and makes help somebody to smile and be feel good about themselves. You know, that's really important. Maya, you do it. I know Stars, Pieces, Candy does it. She's in the room. And many, many others do it. But there's not enough. Don't you agree? I mean, there's just not enough of us. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everybody was doing that? But we know it doesn't happen.
And I do blame the way that our society has become, because we have gotten, you know, on the freedom and our own rights and don't butt into other people's business. If you go back 100 years, you know, if someone was sick in your town, the whole town knew about it within an hour, and casseroles and fresh vegetables, and, you know, everybody was coming to your door and taking care of you, and it was welcomed. But in today's society, we've gotten so that, you know, our privacy has become almost too important. And therefore,
right.
You know, I do believe that we do have to look at that society has in, you know, kind of pushed us to a point that for many people that are, for example, maybe walking down the street and they see a scuffle, or they see an interaction between two people that they don't feel is appropriate. But society has taught them, hey, that's none of your business, and they end
right.
up continuing to walk when their heart would stop. So I believe that it's worth the risk. And, you know, karma has a lot of facets, and this is just my opinion based on what my guides teach and what I've learned through my clients and what I've learned through my own life experiences. But karma has a lot of facets to it. And not that I believe that we should do things with expectations, because I'm very much against doing something good and expecting something back in return. However, that being said, I do feel that if we have an open heart and we approach people and situations with giving and knowing that, you know, I don't feel that it's negative or it's having an expectation of a reward or a benefit or a boomerang effect to say, I'm going to help this person. Who knows if, you know, one day when I might need help, or what if that was my daughter or my grandson or my granddaughter or my mother or my aunt or uncle or whatever the case may be. Now, I have a really good story that I'd like to share, if you're okay with me doing that, Natalie.
Of course, of course.
Okay, it's
fire away.
I'll try because we're nearing the end of time, and that's why I think we'll revisit this subject next week. This story, first of all, I want everyone to know that this story was told to me from the time that I can remember. My father was a Baptist minister. He died when I was fairly young, and there is nothing about this story as it was told to me over the years that would lead me to believe that it is anything but absolute truth, part of it being that my father was a Baptist minister. Before he went into the ministry, he was the finance manager for Ford Motor Credit, but for their farming equipment. There's huge tractors and so on and so forth. His best friend was Warren, and our family were raised calling them Aunt and Uncle, Uncle Warren and Aunt Betty, and we referred to one another. They had two boys and a girl, and my parents had a boy and a girl, myself and my brother, and we were raised as cousins. So it was close-knit. Now, Warren was not a big believer in church, and I don't want this to have religious connotations. I'm just setting the stage. So I don't believe that it has to do with anything about my father being a Baptist minister, other than the fact that it made him an honest person. He had no reason to lie to me. So he, at that time, he was in the ministry, but his best friend, Warren, was still traveling. And what Warren was a salesman. Now, back then, this was 1963, maybe 64. Back then, you have to remember, traveled Kentucky, Ohio, Nebraska, West Virginia, around those areas.
Oh, yeah, big territory.
Yeah, big territories. And what he would do is he would go to take the orders and collect if there was money due or, you know, do a credit application and so on. Now, that's how he and my father met. But at this time, he was on the road, and he would stop at, you know, and get a motel for the night and call home. Well, he didn't usually stop for strangers. It was something that, you know, most of the salesmen didn't stop a lot because they were in a hurry. Most of them had families. They needed to get back. They had a job to get done. So my Uncle Warren wasn't a man. He wasn't a big person. He didn't go to church. Him and my dad remained best friends, but he wasn't a churchgoer. And I wouldn't call him a spiritual person. I don't think spirituality has nothing to do with God, goddess. It can be any of those or none of the above. So at any rate, he wasn't a big person for stopping. But it was raining really hard one night, and he saw a man and stranded on the side of the road, and the man had a hat and a raincoat, and he could tell by his, you know, attire that he was another traveling salesman. And Uncle Warren was probably about 6 hours from home. And the way the story is told is that he said something just would not let him go. So he ended up going down to the next turnaround. It was on what we would call the freeways or the highways, whatever you want to call them. And he turned around and he stopped for this man. And he helped him out, and he ended up, they couldn't get the car started, so they got in the car and went to the next gas station. Now, back then, you have to remember that gas stations were service stations, and many of them were open all the time. They always had a mechanic on duty. So the mechanic came back with them. They figured it out. It took about 3 hours. And he got the car, helped the man out, and got him on his way. And the man kept thanking. He tried to pay Warren. Uncle Warren wouldn't take any money. And he said, I just don't usually do this. But he said, well, I'm glad. He said, my wife has been ill. And he said, I was really worried. I didn't want to make this trip. And I don't know what would have happened. He said, I can't tell you how many cars had passed me by. And you would think back then people would be more prone to stop, but they weren't. So for whatever reason, my Uncle Warren, as he tells it, again, being not really a spiritual person at that time, he said he didn't want anything. He refused the money. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I feel good about what I did today, that I stopped and I helped you. He said, when you see somebody, he said, you pay it back. You stop and help them. And the man said to him, I'll do that. Okay, so fast forward about a year later, and Uncle Warren is still traveling. My dad's still a Baptist minister, and Uncle Warren is still not a spiritual person, and he has left in the morning and found out that his wife, who we called our Aunt Betty. Now, we were with her. Her appendix burst. And back then, that was very serious. Surgery was a huge gash. And because she had an infection, she hadn't been feeling good for days, had stomach ache and vomiting and didn't know what
didn't know that it was appendicitis, so it had burst and it had caused complications. They were worried about sepsis. And so he always would call in the mornings before he would leave and at night, you know, at the motel. That's when the only time he could make the call. So he was extremely worried, and he was quite a ways from home, a good day's drive. Now he knew that, you know, his best friend, my dad, was there, and my mom, who was Betty's best friend. So he knew she was in good hands, but it wasn't the same as him being there. And what do you think happens? He's about 6 hours from home, and his car breaks down. Now, he's a person that had snowmobiles and had, you know, he had some farm equipment, lightweight farm equipment. He didn't really have a farm. So he was pretty good, but he could not get his car to start. Couldn't do it. So cars going by left and right. He's debating what to do. Should he stick with the car? About an hour or so has passed, and he's finally starting to think maybe he better just start walking. So he's about to that point, and here a car stops. So the guy gets out of the car and comes up, and my Uncle Warren says, "I recognize you." And he said, "Oh, you do?" And the gentleman didn't seem to really recognize my Uncle Warren. And Uncle Warren said, "You were driving through the same area. This was going from Iowa into Illinois is what the route was." And he said, "You were here probably about a year ago, and your car broke down." And the guy said, "That's right. I remember. Yes, yes, yes." And, you know, the guy kind of just said, I remember it. I apologize. I remember what a good Samaritan helped me, and I've talked about it for years, and I apologize for not recognizing you." And so my Uncle Warren said, "Don't worry about it." And the guy said, "Well, do me a favor. Pop the hood and get in there, and let me fool with it and see. I'm pretty good with cars." So Uncle Warren got in the car. The hood was lifted up, so Uncle Warren couldn't see, okay? And all of a sudden, the car starts. And the guy goes, "I think you're going to be okay." He kind of shakes his hands off, brushes his hands off. And Uncle Warren says to him, he says, well, what did you do? I mean, how can I thank you?" He said, "Thank me?" He said, "Aren't you the one that told me to pay it forward?" And Uncle Warren said, "You know, I did. And so Uncle Warren just felt, he said he just, something felt so just strange to him. He said it just was a strange experience. He was knowledgeable with vehicles, and the guy never gave him a straight answer and seemed in a hurry to leave, friendly, smiling. And so the guy took off. And took off into the, it was getting late, so it must have been dark. So took off, and Uncle Warren said he just needed a minute to compose himself. And so he was driving, and he said something just kept bugging him.
Gnawing at him, yeah.
About this experience. He said it just, there was just something about it. So as he happened to glance over in the seat, he saw a card. And it had what he assumed to be, since it wasn't a card for many of the customers he had called on or the businesses, and it wasn't his card, he assumed it was this guy. So he put it down in his folder, in his file, and by that time then he was back to worrying about his wife, and he got home, and the guy's name was Joe, by the way. And so it had been a few weeks. Aunt Betty was sick. She was in intensive care for a couple weeks, but she pulled through. So once she had pulled through, you know, Uncle Warren, of course, had shared the story about the, you know, person. He said, "What are the chances?" Well, they said, "Well, the chances are pretty good because the salespeople all kind of drive the same route." Yeah, that's true. So Uncle Warren said, "Well, I'm going to call the guy." So he calls and a woman answers. And Uncle Warren says, "Yes, I'd like to speak with Joe." And he hears silence on the other end. And the woman says, do you mind if I ask who's calling? And he says, my name is Warren, and I'll leave out the last name for Uncle Warren's privacy. I doubt that he's listening, but anyways. And the woman says, I'm sorry, are you with the insurance? I don't recognize you. And Uncle Warren says, oh, that's okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. And so Uncle Warren shares the story. He said, well, back a few weeks ago, my wife was sick, and your husband Joe stopped by. Silence again. And the woman said, "I, you must have the wrong number or the wrong person. I think there's been a mistake." And Uncle Warren said, no, I have his card here. And he read the card, read the name, read the title, read the company. And the woman said, that's my Joe. And she said, my Joe died 8 months ago. And Uncle Warren said, that can't be. He said, would you mind if I came and visited you? And she said, no, I'll give you my address. I would like for you to. So Uncle Warren went and visited Joe's widow and told the story. And the woman said, Joe told me the night when she was actually ill. She wasn't as ill as my Aunt Betty was, but she had complications. I believe it was something to do with female issues, I believe, is what she had some complications from. And she said, Joe told me about you. He told me you stopped and, you know, you had taken him into town and you'd gotten a service guy and you'd gone back out there and you'd spent like 3 hours of your time. And she showed him pictures and he said, that's Joe. He wore that trench coat and he had this kind of a signature hat that he wore. And she said, the time must be wrong. And he showed her his mileage log, which he had to turn into the company. And she said, well, I don't have an explanation for it. She said, I don't know what to tell you, she said, but I do remember that Joe had said after that experience that, you know, if he ever saw someone stranded, he said he didn't care what was going on in his life or how big of a hurry he was in. He was going to stop. And the next Sunday, guess who was in church in the first pew? Uncle Warren.
Kidding me?
Nope. And he was a churchgoer ever since. And he and my dad, until my dad passed, and then we still remained in contact with Uncle Warren until we were well into adulthood. Uncle Warren never wavered. And he was a guy we were scared to death of.
So he wouldn't make up a story like that. He was not.
No.
I mean, that's not even to make up a story. That's real.
Not with our Aunt Betty having been so ill. He would never have. And, you know, the funny thing is after Sunday services, before all of this, we would take donuts over there. And my dad, being a minister, said, you know, Warren was his best friend and he loved him. And when he was ready to come to God, if he was ever ready, he would. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but that's part of the story. But talk about paying it forward. My belief is that Joe took to heart because Joe was stranded there. And for whatever reason, Uncle Warren was compelled to help him. Joe was going to make sure, and so somehow divine intervention, angelic intervention, I don't know. And Warren had one thing that Warren just couldn't wrap his head around is how he had fiddled and fooled with the car. He always carried tools with him. When you were a traveling salesman back then, that was common practice that you carried your tools and what you might need.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, I mean, he was up behind that hood for 2 minutes. So that's my story. That's my pay it forward spiritual story. So the
certainly
so
spiritual,
the,
very spiritual, and very, very nice to hear.
That just tells you that it doesn't, you never know when you do that favor and you help someone out. You don't know how far reaching that love and that spirituality and that giving and compassion that you show. There are no bounds. Remember that, listeners. There are no bounds to what our love, each of us individually, are powerhouses, and there is no boundary and no limitation to the love that we can offer. And I know we're out of time, and I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
but
I
extended
so
it
because
I knew the story was going to be longer, so we're fine to end
right.
it now. And
we'll come back next week and we'll finish up so you can share more of
your
story.
Yeah, we'll do a part two, and maybe some of the listeners can call in with some of the things that they've done or they've heard people do. It's just it's a feel good kind of thing. It really, really is. And you know, sometimes you know people have tough times, and you wonder, well, what did they not do in their life? You know, I don't know that it's karma, but you know how I feel. Everybody knows how Natalie feels, and I know Maya feels the same way, and Candy. So, with that, we're going to end the show, and we'll see you next week for part two, paying it forward. And be sure to go to Stars Psychics, that's Stars with a Z, psychics.com. I have all kinds of great advisors, all different kinds, with all different kinds of modalities, meaning all kinds of talents. And go to them, and we have a special going on right now for first time, first orders. It's only if you're a new client. And it's really, really good. You get an extra 5 minutes with whatever you make your purchase. Like 15 minutes right now is a total of $22.50, and that's a really good rate. So, okay, everybody, have a great week. It's pouring rain here. It's been raining and raining and raining. I don't know about where you are, Maya, but it's been ugly. Not ugly. I mean, it gets sunny here, and then when it gets sunny, it's so humid you can't stand it. But anyways, have a great week. I love you, Maya Moon. I love you, Candy. I know she's there listening, and she said love to you. So take care, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.